Welcome back to Talking Risks. This is a podcast about entrepreneurialism. I will tell you what you've missed. What you missed is we were a good 10 minutes into this podcast before Ricky realized he never hit the record button. So this was one that we had a practice run on. But this podcast, as you know, if you've listened to others, is about entrepreneurialism. Every episode we have on a business owner, a risk taker, a legacy builder, who talks about the whys, wheres, and whens of his or her business. We talk about the risks that they took and the lessons that they learned along the way. We hope that in doing this, we can encourage you guys to step outside your box and take your own risks. We hope that we impart some life wisdom and some business wisdom. And, you know, we're all about it, guys. We want to encourage our listeners, if you're employed by somebody else, to do it part-time or full-time, take that dive and become independent of the man, become the man. Not that your worries go away. They don't. They only multiply. But it sure is nice when you're the boss and your decisions are the ones that matter. So my name's Eric Reese. I own a law firm called Aspen Legal. I'm a CPA. I'm a lawyer. You can find that on the web at AspenLawTeam.com. I'm going to give myself a plug, too. I also own a franchise called Simple Plan. We have sold our first two, one in Minneapolis, and now one down in Ricky's neck of the woods that just became his neck of the woods today. My co-host is Ricky Hall. Ricky?
Hi, I'm Ricky Hall. I'm founder of Nutrition HQ and a subpar Roadcaster board operator.
Ricky is that.
You can find me at NutritionHQ, franchising.com, or don'tlethimruntheboard.com.
Right, correct. And Ricky just sold another franchise. Ricky, you were in where this morning?
Charlotte, North Carolina.
And that's where the next Nutrition HQ is going to pop up. So we're excited about that. We're excited about that market. Our guest, we've known for years. We knew him when he was in St. Louis. And then we've kept in touch as he moved from St. Louis up to Keokuk through Facebook. His name is Jason James. Jason?
Hi, how you doing? I own a chiropractic and medical integrated clinic in Keokuk, Iowa, called James Healthcare and Associates. You can find us on Facebook and jameshealthcareiowa.com. The best ways to find our clinic.
All right, awesome. So we're going to talk to Jason at length about his business and how he grew it, etc. But first, we're going to cover our hot topics. That's right. That's my wife, my beautiful wife, Jill. And the hot topic that we're going to talk about today is the labor shortage. And I was saying before we were not recorded, I was saying that I represent a lot of restaurant chains. And the restaurant chains, the CEOs, COOs, all say the same thing, that labor is difficult to find. They're still saying that. Multiple years after the pandemic. I think Biden now has declared that the pandemic is over. Who knows? We'll see if it raises its ugly head again when this Tales from the Crypt tries to get reelected, right? But the thing is that, you know, people say, well, people don't want to work. That's what I hear a lot. People don't want to work. I can't find the workers, et cetera. And we've talked about this on the show a bit, right? We blamed, or I did, blamed not willing to pay the new minimum wage. Eric, there's no minimum wage, no new minimum wage. Well, yes, there is. As a practical matter, the minimum wage is now $15 an hour. We talked about out in Denver, I saw McDonald's offering $23 an hour. That's the minimum wage out there, out in Colorado. $15 an hour is the law now out in California. That's their minimum wage. Again, I've kind of shifted it back or blamed the employer for not wanting to pay the money that it takes in the new world that we're in post-pandemic. Man, I wish someone would really write about what happened over the last few years,
oh, yeah.
Right? This shift in society that the government has achieved by shutting us all down for a year. But what I feared was... there was a societal shift as a result of the government shutdown of the economy. And so I started reading about labor shortage in the United States and its causes and why people are telling me that people don't want to work, or alternatively, that they can't find people who are willing to work. And it was amazing what I found, both from the left and from the right media, as well as things like the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. And what we have is a substantially decreased labor participation rate. The labor participation rate is the number of individuals 16 years or older who are actually seeking employment, all right? The labor participation rate, and remember, all this data lags. I don't understand why we don't have real-time data on anything, but this lags for about a quarter, a calendar quarter, is 62.2%. That means that nearly 40% of those 16 and older eligible to work ain't working, all right? They're just sitting on the sidelines. They're not seeking employment.
Well, why would you when you get free checks all the time?
Well, that's interesting, and that's a part of it, at least from the research that I found. So, sorry, I got to put my readers on because I can't read my notes here. So, of the workers who lost jobs, this was from the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Of the workers who lost jobs in the pandemic, when the government forced most businesses to shut down and forced hundreds of thousands of businesses out of business, right? The absolute disaster that the government caused by panicking during the pandemic. Of those workers who lost their jobs, from the survey by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce asking, why aren't you going back to work? Why aren't you getting back in the game? I thought this was telling. 27% said that they needed to be home to take care of kids or others. In other words, they said, look, we were sending our kids to childcare. Now we're going to stay home and raise the kids. All right. And we're going to talk about this societal shift. All of these numbers and their excuses or reasons, I should say, add up to a very significant societal shift. So 27% said they need to be home to take care of kids. 28% said that their health is more of a priority than working. Okay? So the pandemic got them to focus on their health, right? Whether they started working out or whether they started getting scared of COVID or what have you, okay? So now we're up to nearly 60% of those surveyed who lost their jobs during the pandemic. Now, here's another interesting statistics. 23% said, you know what? We earn enough just with one of us working. All right. So this is a societal shift. We earn enough just with one of us working. It's enough. Okay. We both don't have to hump all day long for the man. Okay. So now we're up to nearly 90%. Then we have those who took early retirement. That took a lot of the rest up. Okay. They're still young. Okay. Right. But they said, I'm done. I'm done working. I'm not going to go back. All right. So these numbers are very interesting to me. All of these were choices not to work, all right, or to focus on other things, right? And so when I worried that there was a societal shift, that there was a reprioritized what was important to them, it wasn't work. Work lost. Now, with respect to what Ricky said, well, they were earning so much. Remember, those benefits, those extended benefits or enhanced benefits ended in September of 2021. All right. So we're already a year and a half behind or past that. But to Ricky's point, this again from the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, 68% of those who lost their jobs during the pandemic with the enhanced benefits were earning more than they did from the benefits, both the state unemployment and the federal enhancements and the state COVID enhancements, they were earning more through unemployment than they did when they were employed post-government shutdown. So, yes, I agree that that played a role up until September of 2021. But after that, it looks like people just reprioritized what was important to them.
Yeah, and I can't remember the number that we ran that one time of how much federal aid is giving. I'm sorry, but you cut back on welfare and some of these government programs, you'll fix the workforce problem.
Yeah, well, that's an interesting thing too. So, you know, I can't remember what Trump's plan was, but I know Trump floated a plan out there saying, look, if you want welfare benefits, that's fine, but you need to demonstrate that you're actually trying.
Right.
Right. It's not the George, remember the Seinfeld episode where George Costanza was getting, you know,
to get the Keith Hernandez signature.
Right. And he's got to come in and he's got to show every week or every couple of weeks that he's actually trying. Right. He applied to Vandalay Industries. Remember that's where it was. Right. And, I get that. And the other couple things, and then I'll shut up and hear your guys' opinions on this. But the other couple things is it was regionalized. OK, it matters where you are located. OK, blue states versus red states matter, right. Believe it or not. That shouldn't surprise any of us. All right. But it also matters, again, what your labor group is, okay? And I'll give you an example, and you'd probably say, duh, but, you know, illegal immigrants in some states are taking up a lot of jobs. I'm not saying they're stealing jobs, but they are willing to work, okay, to earn some dough, all right? So it's the obvious things that still right. Influence this. But also there seems to be a difference between industries, okay, that people may not want to come back and work food service. They want to work a job that they feel now is more worthy of them, whether that's true or not, whether it is worthy of them or they're worthy of it, it matters in industry. Jason, what are you finding in your business, in the techs and the people that you employ?
Well, you know, as far as here and you know, my several years ago, was about 17, 6 years ago. So my wife, she came to work for me full time, run the clinic. Cause well, when I'm treating patients, obviously you can't run anything. And, so, you know, one thing I will say, we didn't have any issues here as far as my clinic, because my wife pays very well. I mean, gotcha. We pay our providers more than our hospitals pay.
Wow.
So, you know, and we actually give them a voice. So we actually pay high, but to get to that real quickly, like we mentioned earlier, I'm literally right on the Illinois-Missouri border here in Iowa. And in Chicago, they have, I guess, signs telling those people you can't get on housing in Chicago because there's a huge waiting list. Move to Iowa, and they'll tell you where. Don't come to Keokuk. But they'll tell you where. They come here for, and I think it's a year or how many months, whatever it is, and then they go back to Chicago and they're put on the top of the list because they were already in housing in another state. So we run into our welfare here is very high because Illinois and Missouri is terrible.
Interesting. So, yeah. So you're getting everything that's bad coming out of Chicago, and there's plenty of bad to come out of that.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's literally like 40 miles north of me. And yeah, the crime is through the roof up there with them. And when we have that influx.
Interesting. So Jason, let's talk a little bit about Keokuk, because I'm not familiar, although, you know, so a lot of franchises that I represent are always looking for what they call, you know, and this is no offense to Keokuk or Des Moines or whatever, the second tier cities, okay? And really that whole thing is weird, second tier, okay? St. Louis is an eighth tier, okay? So I don't know what the tier system is exactly. But, you know, it's smaller cities that have a lot going on. Tell me about Keokuk.
Well, Well, you know, Keokuk, we're a river town, and unfortunately, you know, our population has been on the decline with, you know, obviously industries going overseas and whatnot. And that's been going on here since the 80s. But really, it's one of the things that, you know, about Keokuk and you know, I left, came back, is, you know, the people here just have a poor man's mentality, and they act like people don't have money. But it's funny because I have friends of mine, whether they make a lot of money or not a lot of money, they spend money every single day, you know. Yeah. So I will tell you that, you know, I had a clinic there in St. Peter's, Missouri for 7 years, and then I got my clinic up here now. I can tell you this much, though, Eric. I had more bounce checks in a month in St. Louis than I have in a decade here in my little small town.
Interesting. Yeah.
So St. Peter's, a town that, you know, I mean, you drive to the lake and, you know, you got to get to Warrenton to get out of traffic anymore. Right. I mean, that's how crazy St. Peter's and O'Fallon, St. Charles have grown. But that's a surprising thing. And it, you know, it shouldn't surprise us because I know that Ricky's NHQ in Quincy just kills it.
Does it really well.
Just kills it. And Quincy's close to Keokuk. Mm-hmm. There's
another river town.
People are spending money, and people may play poor. And I'm not saying they're rich, but they're spending money, and B, they ain't bouncing checks.
Well, yeah, and, you know, housing's extremely cheap here. So, you know, when you kind of mentioned earlier the labor shortage, people not going back to work, one, you can't get a meal here on Monday. There's literally like two restaurants open on a Monday because of the shortage. But also, it's just nobody here, you don't have to worry. And one thing I loved about living here, nobody worried about keeping up with the Joneses.
Yeah.
You know, you always have a few, but nobody cares. So they're not spending their money, you know, ridiculous things like you'll see in a lot of cities.
Sure.
And, you know, especially in small town, you get, you know, you get these farmers like this. Every farmer is broke when you ask them.
Yeah.
By golly, they come in with a wad of cash.
Yeah.
So, and they're great. They work their bloody asses off.
Yeah.
So, you know, it may not seem that they have money. It's one of these things that, you know, the old millionaire next door, you don't know who's got money or not.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Jason, it's funny you say that because when I bought that little GNC in Troy, Missouri, tiny town, all the farmers that would come in and buy their little bottle of vitamin C, little bottle of vitamin E, and I'd be like, what do you want to get, the bigger one? I can't afford it this month. And then open the wallet and there's like $1,000 bills in there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Keep coming back for the small ones.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm making more dough off of that. Mm-hmm. See you next week, right? So, so Keokuk, I know, Jason, that was where you were from or where you are from, but I met you when you were in St. Peter's. How did you end up going from Keokuk to the St. Louis area?
Oh, great story. So in chiropractic school, And I'm sure, like probably most colleges, you know, those who can't make it in the real world teach. So we had these former docs teaching business class that failed in practice. So here we are listening to these people. And when they started talking about, you know, when you come from a small town, if you're one of these kids that kind of got in a little bit of trouble, this and that, they're going to remember you how you were and not how you are. So I'm like, oh, goody God, I can't go back home.
Exactly.
I figured it
had something to do with the criminal past. I'm kidding you, Jason.
It helps when you know every officer and, you know, the proximity attorney, everybody in town. So you don't really get in trouble. You just get away with it.
Right.
But so I told myself, and I hadn't lived here. I was military before. I was in the, you know, 82nd Airborne. I got injured jumping out of airplane. So I actually, when I was jumping, I hit the plane. I hit the side. It sucked me back into the side of the plane
because obviously I didn't properly.
So I didn't know that knocked me unconscious. My company captain was the jump master, so he was in the plane. He heard it thud. So I kind of burned in a little bit. The chute opened, but hurt my back. Long story short, that's why I became a chiropractor. And then I said, I'd never want to live in my little tiny town again. You know, I swore I'd never live here. And matter of fact, my mom had me write it down, sign it, put it in the safe. I'll never live here.
Yeah, and that means you're coming back, by the way.
Yes.
Let me tell you, when we moved back, she had it out, too. But my wife and I, we just opened up. We said, okay, where do you want to live? And this is, I mean, this is kind of pre-internet, too. So we're like, All right, Des Moines. Okay, too cold for me. I want warmer. And then we think Chicago. Oh, Chicago, the crime is terrible there. Right. So we moved to St. Louis.
Yeah, and, right. Good choice.
Yeah, brilliant. Number one, you know, that year was the number one, you know, city for crime.
Yeah,
so,
right.
So we just out of the blue picked St. Louis. And I'll be honest, I went there and I had that little feeling in my gut going, you know what? Is this the right decision? And I did it anyway. But, you know, it was great for me because it really humbled me, letting me know that it's not that easy to run a business. If I would have stayed here, you know, my name and, you know, and my whole family's been entrepreneurs. So that wouldn't have been hard. Marketing would have been very cheap. I just would have put a sign up. And back then there was, you had no idea what to do for running a business. I mean, they don't teach you that stuff. And we didn't have the internet really.
Right.
So I opened up down there and I learned some pretty tough lessons. And it's kind of, they're lessons that you'll learn when you don't have food on the table. So you find out it's not as easy as what they tell you.
Yeah, for sure. So what, describe the competitive environment in St. Peter's. And St. Peter's, for those people who are listening that are not St. Louisans, really the growth of St. Louis is in its counties. It's in the
right.
The suburbs, right? It's white flight, which is accurately described in St. Louis. I'm not trying to be politically incorrect. It's white flight is what's happened. And much of the population is shifted to, you get past the airport in St. Louis and you have St. Charles, St. Peter's, O'Fallon, Winsville, Warrenton. I'm probably leaving a city out or two.
Like St. Louis, right. O'Fallon, but yeah.
That's where a lot of the growth is. Very heavy. I mean, the population is pretty big out there. Describe, Jason, what the competition was like in that area that was kind of taking off when you moved to it.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a you know, chiropractor on every corner, especially, you know, St. Louis has a chiropractic college and I did not attend it.
Logan.
One of the reasons I moved to St. Louis is because what I learned, they don't teach there. So I went down there and, you know, you got chiropractors everywhere. So one of the things I found, especially you get into the bigger cities and we're seeing this, especially on Facebook now, you know, well, if so-and-so is going to offer for 50, I'm going to go for 49.
Yeah.
Our value, we've just lost our value in what we do.
Yeah.
And so you're constantly trying to, well, the guy down the street, the guy down this. And, well, you know, when I was so young and green, I had no idea what to say, how to say it. And you know what?
Well, the places like the Joint didn't help, right? $49.99 membership. And you get these limited services, which my guess are tremendously limited, but nonetheless, the consuming public, here's the price, and here's chiropractic, you know, so they're not educated enough, and no offense, I'm not saying they're stupid, but it's marketing, they hear that price, and it hurts.
Jason, where did you go to chiropractic school?
I went up to Palmer College in Davenport, Iowa.
Oh, yep, yep.
Where it began, so that's like the Harvard. Yeah, and you know, and Eric, you get the places like the Joint, and then people think that is the standard. And you know, matter of fact, I had a gentleman in this morning, and he comes in for some of our medical neuropathy, and he's like, "Hey, doc," he saw me walking. He's like, "Hey, I'd like to get adjusted today if I could." And I said, "Hey, we got to do an X-ray. I don't just lay people down and crack you.
Sure,
you know, I don't know what's inside your body. I have no clue what's going on, but that's what they assume because that's what's on the internet. And then you've got, you know, these people that will do whatever for money off the internet, which I'm all for doing about whatever for money, except for taking what I do, my care, and lowering the quality of that care. So that's the only thing I'll ever do.
Yeah, so many issues here. And by the way, this doesn't just apply to chiropractic. It applies to so many industries, everything. But before we go there, are you, Jason, are you private pay or are you insurance or both?
So I'm both. I will say last year we are 85% cash, self-pay. Mm-hmm. And that isn't all just deductibles. And deductibles obviously have risen quite a bit. But we also know that we can't be stuck on relying on insurance.
Yeah.
So I've added, and my wife, when she started, we added different services in here that no insurance companies cover anyway.
Good.
So it's cash.
Yeah, good.
So we love those. So honestly, my insurance could go away tomorrow and we'd still survive.
That's
when
good.
That's the way I want it.
Yeah, I mean, insurance, and we've talked about this on other shows, insurance, if you want to start fixing the healthcare system, you need to start with the insurance companies. And no one will, because the insurance companies control so much, including 90% of our politicians.
Yeah,
so,
as I say, the lobbyists.
Oh, yeah, it's...
Every day I get to hear from people, this doesn't make sense. Why wouldn't my insurance pay for this? It's cheaper than surgery.
Because it doesn't. Hey,
Because you got somebody who thinks they know more than everybody else or something, or somebody's just padding, putting some money in the back pocket. I don't know why either.
Yeah. It's interesting because we represent, or Aspen represents, a good friend of the show, Apex Physical Therapy, and they figured out a way, yep. Right, to deliver these services. Even though insurance is the primary, payer of their invoices, but it's becoming so difficult because the insurance company is out to fuck the insured, and they're out to fuck the provider. All right, they're only in it for themselves. They want nothing to do with actually helping people. They want to screw everybody, except their shareholders, of course.
Right.
Absolutely. One of the things I tell our patients that come in when they say that, it's like, I really think it really shifted, and I could be wrong, but during Obamacare, because they made it seem like you have insurance, you are set for life. You're
shitty insurance. Yeah.
And I tell people, I said, it's like your car insurance.
Yep.
If you crash it, they'll fix it. If you don't put oil in the engine, that's on you.
Yep.
So chronic conditions, and then when you look at like Medicare, which is the standard because it's federal, Medicare does not pay for any wellness. So anything to
stupid.
Try to be proactive, Medicare will not pay for that.
Yeah, you've got to get fucked up beyond the point that it's repairable in order to be insured. All right. I mean, when I rip my, I can't run. Okay. Now, I'm not making a joke. I cannot fucking run. Okay. And I cannot run because one day I was, this is embarrassing, running across Market Street in St. Louis just to avoid getting hit by a car. Okay. Probably intentionally. It is St. Louis.
A car that's not registered or insured.
Correct.
Because you're in St. Louis.
Correct. And I'm not kidding you. I heard, and the two people running for their lives with me heard a pop, and the pop was my calf muscle ripping in half, okay? And I went for supposed health care, all right? And I said, look, I need some surgery to get this fucker repaired, okay? At that point, I could barely walk, all right? And the protocols that I had to go through in order to get surgery covered were so painful and so expensive, painful meaning all the bullshit I had to go through, that guess what? I just didn't get it fixed. I just let it grow back together, all right? And now I can't run because if I run three steps, it's going to pop, okay? You can feel it immediately. That's the state of healthcare because of insurance.
Well, it's because of insurance, and I'm sorry, the federal government doesn't want you healthy.
Correct.
I mean, that keeps them rich.
Yeah.
With drugs, insurance.
Big pharma.
Yeah. It's disgusting. It just, I could go all day long in Washington, D.C., but literally I would love to see the amount of money from lobbyists, from the insurance companies and the pharmaceutical companies.
For sure.
Oh, it would probably blow your mind.
Absolutely.
I mean, when you're trying to ban vitamins, what the fuck?
Right, right. You're trying to ban anything that prevents you from getting in that irreparable state.
Yep.
Well, and then don't forget, though, and then when it starts to get popular, now the insurance companies and the pharmacies want to start now making it themselves.
Oh,
let's prescribe the vitamin D. Let's prescribe
fish
synthetic
oil.
Vitamin D. that is, you know, can cause cancer. And I remember 20 years ago, the medical field laughing at us crazy chiropractors for saying vitamin D. You guys are idiots. You don't know what you're talking about. And then I'll be damned, next thing you know, they're prescribing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was a study done on vitamin E, Jason, and you probably read it, but talking about how bad vitamin, like there was no benefits from it at all. And when you buy vitamin E, there's natural and synthetic. And the study, they linked it back to a study that was done by a pharmaceutical company out of Canada using synthetic vitamin E.
Sure.
Not even using the real one.
Yeah, of course. Of course. All right. So let's go back to, because value proposition is my favorite topic. Let's go back to St. Peter's. Let's go back to trying to convince, or do you convince that potential patient that the $49.99 is not what you want, okay? And the reason why I say do you, it's a two-part question. Number one, how do you do it? How do you explain the value proposition? And number two, because, by the way, those people who use chiropractors on a regular basis, including my wife and my kids, all right, and Ricky right across from me, swear by them, okay? They go for regular, what they call, they call them adjustments, okay? In all, I was going to say all, boy, geez, my two younger kids, okay, go with my wife on a monthly basis, and they get adjusted, and they know when they need to be adjusted, okay? And the gal's a lovely gal, very, very nice, all private pay, by the way. So what I'm getting at, Jason, is number one, how do you explain the value proposition, or do you simply change your vetting process to say the $49.99 crowd, I ain't even going to work. I'm not even going to work to try to convince them, because I'd spend too much time and money trying to convince them rather than go after the people who already get it.
Yeah, you know, it's, and I think that the biggest thing when I was back there is just experience, and I had none. I didn't know how to explain it. Now, and a lot of that, you know, was slowly getting in back then. Now, today where I'm at, I do, you know, and we run ads on Facebook and $47 for your first visit, because I'm one of these people, if it's the cost of the first visit that sure. keeps you getting help, I have no problem giving away. My x-ray machine was paid for a long time ago.
Sure.
So I don't have a problem with that. So, but when it comes to once they come in and they start care with us, that's when we explain to them and the value. The value really starts, Eric, when they walk in my door.
Right.
They walk into our clinic, and everybody walks in here, they're just like, wow, this is not what I would figured I would see in this town.
Sure.
So you have that value. You can't show value with wood paneling on your walls from 1975.
Sure. Sure. Yeah, so, it's the same thing. I mean, I give 1 hour free, and I thought that was the standard, and I referred somebody over to another attorney for a specialty, and it's like, dude, they're charging me $500 for the introductory call. It's like, what? I didn't even know you could do that, okay? But that becomes part of your marketing budget, is I will give you a deal on your first visit, and then I will be able, I have an opportunity to show you why this is worth a lot more than $47.99 or whatever that introductory price was.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, my wife tells everybody, you know, one, we are the busiest clinic in town, and we are the most expensive.
Yeah, interesting.
That's great.
Now, see, that's
well, you know, your lane. You know what you're doing, and you said, "Hey, I'm not going to play over here. I'm going to go over here and play where I know what's right, and I'm going to set myself apart from that."
And also, you know, having that entrepreneurial mindset, I'm constantly, and it drives my wife insane, I work all day, all night. How can I make our clinic better? What can I add to help our patients? So I'm constantly trying to figure out what we can do to upgrade, make things better, whereas, you know, my competitors are still back in 1980.
They're coasting.
Yeah. And that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. You'll keep coasting away, people, but don't be mad at me that I pass you.
Yeah.
So, Jason, on top of that, like, obviously we know you're as a chiropractor, so what are some of those other services that you're offering that nobody else in town's offering?
Yeah, so, I have being in a very small town and my wife, being here and running the clinic, I have medical as well, so I have a nurse practitioner works for me full-time. We take care of neuropathy here, so we do neuropathy treatments, and which are all natural and phenomenal, 90% success rate. Neuropathy, we offer testosterone hormone, and we do all natural there.
So you are doing testosterone therapy?
Yes. Yep.
Interesting, because I've got a friend, okay? I've represented him, but he owes me some money. I've got a friend. That does testosterone therapy, and he says it's doing quite well. Okay, not well enough to pay my bills in his case, but but quite well. All right, so I didn't mean to interrupt, but I know testosterone therapy and hormone therapy is a big deal.
Yeah, and real quick on that testosterone, people think Arnold Schwarzenegger when they hear testosterone. They don't think about, these hormones are meant to be in our body for a reason, and we talk about, with testosterone, to have healthy breasts, females too, breasts, your bones, testosterone increases bone density more than Fosamax, which is the main drug they use. Mm-hmm. Bones, your heart, keep your heart and your brain healthy. So there's so many great things about it. So we do testosterone. We have an esthetician. The hair, so we do facials. We have dermatology lasers. I used to have a dermatologist working for me, a nurse practitioner. That was a life lesson. That was about $500,000 investment, and he 6 months and took off on us. Matter of fact, I fly to Philly Thursday to go see my son who's in the military, and I told my wife, I said, should we drive 20 miles west to go stop in on that clinic and maybe pay him a visit? She's like, I don't like jail.
He created his own clinic or no?
So we hired him on to, we purchased, I own a half a city block here in town. Okay. Another reason I went to a small town. So I bought another building next door and we put a hole through the wall. We added a dermatology department and we hired this guy on 5-year contract. I put over 300,000, 400,000 into the building, hired him, hired staff, bought, $350,000 worth of lasers. And 6 months, he up and left us and pretty much went 10 miles down the street from where he used to be.
Jesus.
Because he fulfilled his non-compete.
Mm-hmm.
So then we went through the Wall Street side of things. And then I told my wife, so I got other things to do than deal with that. Let's just focus on the business.
Sure.
We focus on that and the business is going to fail. So life lesson with that. But you just keep moving on. So that was $500,000 lesson, bringing this guy on, and we just filled it with other things. So we're like, all right, let's move on. Live and learn.
Yeah. So you put in that space that was your dermatology. You put in other services.
So the
point is that, rather than just sit there, what I was calling coasting, right? You created products and services that your clients may not have thought of before for a normal chiropractic or what they thought was a normal chiropractic, but these are value add. We talk about this all the time, value add. I talk in terms of sales, right? It's the upsell, all right? And the upsell's important, right? I'm going to bring you in because I specialize in this or I'm known for this, but now I'm going to show you the entire suite of services that we can provide.
Yep. Are you guys doing anything with red light therapy or cryotherapy?
Well, yeah. I do everything. Now, I don't have a cryotherapy chamber because that's just a beast to feed in a small town.
Right.
But yeah, we do So I've got a cold laser. I have a shockwave therapy device that's actually going to be delivered next month to me. My gosh, we do so many different – that's the thing. We sit here and people ask me, and I'm like, I don't even know everything we do here because I just have so many different people now working here. We do a weight loss. You know, our weight loss brings in over $500,000 a year.
Wow.
And it's all taxed. You know, so that's the thing we shoot for is the things insurance doesn't cover with that. But, and when it comes to, like you said, upsell, kind of our joke in here is, I'm the gateway drug. The chiropractic is the marijuana of our clinic. It brings them in. And then once they walk in this door, they're not leaving. We've got them hooked.
Yeah.
My wife, she's no dummy when it comes to sales. And she's like, no, we're going to do this. I said, okay, what about this? So I give her the ideas, and then she says, okay, whether or not we can do them financially or whatever, because I'm a risk taker.
Sure.
That's the joy of it.
No, I get it. You're the idea dude, and your wife, who very, very smart lady, she kind of brings you down to earth, or at least does the analysis on it. And in Keokuk, by the way, you don't need a cryotherapy chamber. You just step outside.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're exactly right.
Exactly. You want cryotherapy? Take your shirt off and step outside for 5 minutes.
Go jump into Mississippi.
When you leave, go outside, pull your shirt up, lay in the snow for 5 minutes, and then you can get up and go.
There you go.
Tell me how you feel. All right. So you became a chiropractor because you learned the value of chiropractic firsthand. Is that right?
Absolutely. Yes. So I back in 95 when I was in the Army, I got injured and it didn't bother me much that day. Woke up the next day with, severe sciatica, couldn't walk, couldn't do anything.
He jumped out of a plane. He hit the side of the plane at whatever, 10,000 feet. It didn't bother him much that day. He fucking kidding me? When I got down to the ground, I would stand up and go, I quit.
Well, first, you don't stand up when you hit the ground. I hit the ground for like an hour. But, and also, in the not 10,000 feet, we're like 2,000 feet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So yeah, when you're we don't get to do those fancy jumps. But yeah, so and it was just dumb luck that about a month or two prior, I was in the line buying a beer in a concert, and I saw a guy with a t-shirt that said, when it hurts, call Kirk Chiropractic.
Funny.
And I started shooting the shit with him, and he's like, yeah, I'm a chiropractor, blah, blah, blah. Bought me a beer, gave me a card, threw it in my wallet, didn't think anything of it. And, months later, I went to this guy, and that's still funny. This day, Eric, I can tell you the color of the wall, the room, how it was laid out, the tables, everything, when that very first adjustment he gave me. And let me tell you, it hurt worse than anything I had feeling because I was already in severe pain. But I stood up and went, holy shit, it feels better. It didn't go away, but it felt better. So I said, I got to do this. Obviously, once he picked me up all the way, I said, I got to do this crap.
When it hurts, and call it just, Kurt.
I love it.
Hey, you know what? Sometimes that shit, we were just, my kids and I were just talking about Meow Mix, right? Because they heard that commercial the other day. And they go, did a professional develop that? I said, hey, they've been using that shit for 30 years because it sticks with you.
Meow, 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 right?
Right. You can't get it out of your head.
You can't get it out of your head, right? And Ricky says, if it burns, it wasn't me. That's a different. That's a different slogan that Ricky uses. All right, so that's interesting. So you knew you were built. The value proposition was built in to your head and to your health.
Your DNA.
Yeah, and so you were injured enough, so you got out of the military, and you said, "I'm going to do that because I know it works."
Yeah, and I fast-tracked it. I said, I went in, this is, like I said, before internet. So you had to call the school. They mailed you what classes and everything you needed. Because, in chiropractic school back then, and just like medical school and even attorney, you don't need a degree, a four-year degree. You just need the prereqs. But if 99% have a four-year degree, they come first.
Sure.
I'm like one class short of a bachelor's, which to me does nothing. I mean, I've got a doctorate, but I fast-tracked it to get the heck in and out as quickly as possible.
Sure.
Just because I wanted to help people.
Sure.
Did you use the GI Bill?
So yes and no. So I used the GI Bill just for a few, like one semester, but since I was injured, I went through voc rehab. So I was very blessed that 100% of my tuition was paid for through the voc rehab.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. And it was a disaster going through it. I still remember I had to take some, placement testing, and I had to do it up in the Quad Cities. And I still remember I did it in some woman's house, and she had like three cats.
Jesus.
And I went in like a bedroom. And you're taking this 300 page.
Are you sure? Wait a second. Are you sure?
We're talking to Joe Dirt.
This was legit. He does remember. He does remember falling asleep, and he does remember waking up sans trousers, as we say. All right, keep going, Jason. You had to go to this gal's house.
Yeah, we went to her house, and, you know, this was with my ex-wife, you know, the first one's practice. So, and she was allergic to cats, so she's out there sneezing away, and I'm reading questions, and if anybody had half a brain, these questions are so easy. I was like, wow, question 18 is the same as question 216. Well, I'm going to put the same answer. So I wanted, and when I came out, actually what's funny is my job recommendations, number one was physical therapist, number two was chiropractor.
Hmm, funny. So that part of government testing determined what they were willing to pay for? Is that what it was?
I think they just wanted to screen to make sure that I was still the right fit.
Right.
For that.
Interesting. And, yeah. And what was number three? Do you remember what number three was?
No, no clue. Huh. Everything was hands-on with people, though.
Hmm. It's interesting.
Because they put, do you like to work with people? Yes. And then, you know, 20 questions later, do you like to work alone? No. I just told you I like to work with people. But so, yeah, you take that. And I was one, when I went through school, you know, even though it was free technically, I didn't take advantage of that. And I had another classmate, and, you know, he would fail classes. And I'm like, come on, man, you're wasting the government's money, which is our money.
Yeah, sure.
So I still look at it as if it was my own. So, and you know, when you go through school, I don't want to have to take the class twice. So, hey, I studied, I busted my butt to get the heck out, and go practice and learn some lessons and, well, being an entrepreneur.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, so what's the future hold? You're going to work in Keokuk until you retire? Are you going to retire? Ricky and I talk about this. I'll probably never retire.
Yeah, I'll retire, but not stop work, you know, from this. You know, one thing that they'll say, a chiropractic, I mean, it's a physical job, and I still, you know, treat patients every day. You know, like last one of me, hey, can you get on for 2 hours? I'm like, I am booked up on my 4 days weeks in advance. So, you know, I still like to treat. I still like to see people. I want to slow down a little bit. I like the business side of things. But, you know, Eric, you know, my wife and I started a franchise 20 years ago or so with you. And it's funny as you mentioned that earlier with the COVID stuff, people staying home with kids. And that's what happened when we moved here, when we had the franchises. My wife, it took one. She went to school. My son asked her to go help do a float. And after that, she came home. She goes, I'm done. I want to be a mom.
Interesting.
I've missed out on my kids. I've missed out on everything. And that's when she sold franchises for 10 cents or a penny on the dollar. She's like, I don't care about the money. I want my kids. And I'm the opposite. I'm like, you sure? You know,
what were the franchises?
What's that?
What were the franchises?
It was Cato's Lighthouse. It was a bead and jewelry store.
Okay.
We sourced rocks and crystal. We were the second store in the United States to carry Pandora jewelry.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so, this was, and I know Jason through his wife, and I can't remember how I met his wife. I think she was probably referred to me, but
I think I just Googled you. I think that's why I was looking it up. Oh, I'm the one, I think.
Okay. Yeah. But they had it was a pretty sizable store. Was your original, Jason? Don't I have that right? I think it was a pretty decent square footage.
St. Peter's.
Yeah.
Yeah, in St. Peter's.
And at the
top, literally in the same strip mall as I was.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And at the time, it was a very popular activity, you know. And I think she made the right decision in the end. I think that, you know, chiropractic and the services that you provide, there's a longevity to those things that might not have been, at least for the general public, for her business activity. So I think it was the right decision. Well, obviously, it's proven to be the right decision for you guys.
Yeah, and you know, honestly, I mean, if I could go back 20 years, we'd changed a lot of things. But, sure. You know, that's part of learning. You know, every day I drive my wife insane because I keep talking about other businesses that I want to start or do. And, you know, I keep talking about, you know, my son's, he has his own business. He's a, you know, 21-year-old entrepreneur. He's got a very, very, very successful car detailing business here in Keokuk. And I constantly drive my wife insane because I'm thinking, what can I do when I retire?
Yeah.
You know, I was like, let's get this business started so that we can franchise it. And then, you know, we can get up to this and then let's sell. And then she's like, I don't want to work forever. And I'm like, I do.
That's funny. So a serial entrepreneur for sure. So I always think about getting out of the high pressure type of job, right? And there's always pressure, right? No matter what you do, there's pressure. There's always deadlines or whatever. But, you know, in this business, you know, there's a lot of risk involved as well, as I assume there is with chiropractic. What if you screw somebody up, right? And
absolutely.
Do you ever think about that, Jason? Do you ever think about getting in to a line of work that is, I don't want to say more pedestrian. I know that sounds strange.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
We actually just went on Sunday and looked at an apartment complex here in town.
Yeah.
Apartment building.
For sure.
You know, like I said, real estate's cheap here. And we're like, all right, we need, and that's what we talk about. All right, let's get 20 or 30, at least 30 rentals.
Sure. Units.
Before I start selling the clinic so that I don't want to change my lifestyle when I retire.
Stream of revenue.
That's exactly what you talk about, Eric.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That's why we're invested in real estate, was to create a stream of revenue that would last the rest of our lives. And it's always going to take some work for sure. But number one, my wife does it. I don't.
Yeah.
And the other thing is it's a different kind of work. And quite frankly, they say the grass is always greener on the other side because there's more shit over there. But sometimes the grass is greener on the other side. It's just greener. Okay.
Right.
It's nice. And a change of pace sometimes is nice as well. But it sounds like now you're rocking it for sure in Keokuk.
We do very, very well. And, you know, our clinic did almost $2 million last year.
Jeez.
Good for you.
Wow. Good for you. Yeah. So.
Yeah. And remember, 85% cash.
That's awesome.
So,
yeah.
You know, the IRS doesn't listen to this.
Yeah. No, the IRS wouldn't listen to this.
Maybe for a couple minutes.
And if they are listening, you know, my name's Ricky Hall. And I'm single.
We do very, very well where we're at, and that's where, you know, I sit and I got friends of mine in California, I got friends of mine in Florida, and I'll call them, all right, and we'll compare prices. And I'm like, buddy, I said, I am the same price you are.
Wow.
But yet your house was $1.8 million, and I bought mine for $150.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. For sure.
It's insane. But it all goes back to value.
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
And we give the patients a reason. We show them the value in what they get here. So it's they're willing to pay for it. And, you know, when they're done with that, I mean, we get people going across. I've got patients. I got one patient. I bet they spent over $50,000 with me.
Good Lord.
In the last X number of years, you know, between stem cells, hormones, anything. I got one patient, and they say, whatever you have next that's new, I want it first.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah. Keep coming back.
So, that's right.
Yeah. And once again, where do they live? They live in a little small town, Iowa. Now they live about an hour north of me. And, you know, and that's the other thing here is, you know, I ran into right there at the city one thing that used to drive me nuts is I get that phone call at 5:30, you know, their appointment's at 5:45 or at 5:30 and 5:20. Hey, doc, I'm right by exit so-and-so. I'll be there in 10 minutes, maybe 10 minutes late. And then next thing you know, I'm sitting around there till 6,
yeah.
And they still haven't showed up.
Yeah.
And then I'm just like, oh, my gosh, this is why I miss my family. I miss my kids.
Sure.
And, you know, people here will drive over an hour to come see me, you know, sometimes 2 or 3 days a week. And they're never late. Well, we don't have to worry about traffic either. So yeah. We don't have to worry about snow.
Yeah, yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. So I'm going to ask you, sometimes I forget, and Ricky's got to remind me, but today I didn't. So you've had a business in multiple cities, multiple jurisdictions, multiple societies, right? Because the society in St. Peter's is completely different than the society in Keokuk, or at least it sounds like uh-huh. that. A colorful background with the Army and why you got into, already knowing the value proposition of what you're selling. But if you had to tell a young entrepreneur a lesson, if you wanted them to know something that would avoid some heartache and some headaches for them, what would that be, Jason? What would your advice be?
First, I think that, you know, the thing that sticks out most in my mind is successful people do what unsuccessful are not willing to.
Yeah, it's true.
Don't be afraid. You know, I've done some stupid things in my career as far as marketing, but yet they all paid off. And I tell the story all the time real quickly. And when I would live there in St. Louis, and I had one of my patients, and she was ran Gunday, one of the offices there. And so, you know, obviously real estate agents, they know how to market a little better than obviously when what I do. I had no clue. And she, I still remember the lady's name, Glenda. And she told me, she goes, you know something I did once, Doc? I rented an ice cream truck. And then I went around and handed out stuff. So I did that. I rented an ice cream truck.
Funny.
And
put
stuff, me and the three boys in there, and they were little then. And
that's
when little kids would come up with money, I'd tell them, nope, keep your money. All you have to do, and I'd give them a little brochure about my clinic. Give this to mom and dad. It's free.
Funny.
And
that's
it literally
awesome.
All I had to do was pay for the ice cream. It was literally like $62. And I got one patient out of it. He happened to be a PI attorney. And guess what? He referred PI cases to me.
There you go. Isn't that great?
So it's that's the thing, you know, because all the stuff I remember in school going, oh, I won't do that. Oh, I won't do that. Well, let me tell you, you don't do that, you might be eating, you know, ramen noodles.
Talk about this all the time with attorneys. They don't want to sell. Okay. Don't talk about sales. That's below us. It's like, you idiot. That's not below you. That's how you get paid, you fool. That's awesome. No wonder you're driving your wife nuts. It's like, where are you going? I'm handing out ice cream cones.
My wife made a comment. We were talking yesterday because, you know, her and so I don't do any sales in the clinic. But, you know, like she's, you know, so, you know, obviously I always have somebody else come in. So I've got my wife and then I've got another guy that does sales for us. And it was funny. It was yesterday we were talking there, and my wife's like, all right, I just closed the $6,600 weight loss program.
Wow.
You know, and he's like, all right, I just walked in on a $4,200 chiropractic case. I said, hey, guys, I just sold freaking $5,000 stem cell. Hey, come on now.
That's amazing.
Wife, and it's funny, you know, he made a comment about something, and my wife goes, she goes, yeah, he thinks, you know, me, she says, you know, he'll say he doesn't do sales, but that's, you know, he can sell just as good as I can, and I can, I just don't. But, you know, to me, I tell people, we're all selling something. I don't look at it so much as sales,
that's right.
As, hey, this is what we need. It's your body. I don't give a damn.
Yeah.
Don't cry to me that your shoulder hurts next week if you didn't spend and do what I want or what I said. You know, and kind of like one of my neuropathy guy, it's so funny. He created a new little thing in his when he does a financial, and he goes, so we go in because it's cash. Insurance doesn't pay for, you know, they pay for drugs and surgeries. And he goes in and he goes, all right, so what's your, here's the cost. What's your budget for your foot? And they go, what? And he goes, well, you know, you have a budget for your car, your house. What's your budget to keep your foot or your leg?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, I never thought of that. It's like, well,
exactly.
You know, that we got to think about our health.
Sure.
And we do pretty good here. We do, you know, a lot in sales. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with sales.
Absolutely.
Nothing at all.
You're preaching to the choir for sure.
Yeah. I just wish more people would do it. And you know, I got a young doc coming in tomorrow. It's a classmate of my associate doctor. He's coming in tomorrow to review, you know, to check out the clinic and see how we do things. And, you know, he'll ask questions. He'll say stuff and this and that. And, you know, I'll give him advice. And then I'll have my doc check up with him in a month. And 9 times out of 10, they didn't do it.
Of course.
They're still struggling.
Yeah.
And, you know, years ago, I had a friend of mine reach out to me. He's like, hey, we need to start our own management company, teach these docs how to do this shit. And the more we talk about it, it's like, I don't want to do it. I don't want to babysit. I'm going to tell you, hey, Eric, go do this, this, and this, because you just told me you don't have patience, you're broke. And then the next month, hey, how'd that do? Oh, I didn't do it. I wasn't comfortable.
Correct. What's
more uncomfortable, being broke or stepping outside your comfort zone? I mean, come on now.
Yeah, and I think that story of ice cream is
great.
Great.
That's guerrilla marketing 101 if you don't know what it is.
Guerrilla marketing, yeah. And that's a great lesson, right? Be willing to do what unsuccessful people, you know, can't, won't, don't do, for sure. All right, so that's Jason James. Jason, remind us of how to find you on the web or on Facebook.
So we are James Healthcare Iowa, IOWA, Iowa spelled out, or James.com, or James Healthcare and Associates. You can find us on Facebook as well.
All right. That's Jason James. Jason, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, Jason. Thank you. It was a great show.
Thank you for having me.
Yep. And thanks for your service.
Absolutely. Yeah, I didn't do much. Don't worry about it.
Thanks. You fell out of a plane. I'm just kidding. All right, Jason, we'll talk to you later. Bye.
All right, you guys have a great day.
All right, see you. Bye.